Nedbank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA, contributes to the financial stability of the local economy by regulating and supervising the non-bank financial institution sector, which comprises of the following industries: capital markets, insurance, medical aid, lending activities, retirement fund industries, as well as virtual asset service providers. NBFIRA fosters, amongst others, the safety and soundness of regulated entities, the reduction and deterrence of financial crime, as well as consumer protection. Join me now, Tlasela, on The Business Crawl, the show that unpacks business, policy, investment opportunities, and trade on Gaps FM at 1330 hours to 1400 hours Central Africa time, powered by the Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA.
Right, welcome to the show that unpacks business, policy, investment opportunities, and trade. This show is powered by NBFIRA. We're quite excited today, myself and Dollar Mac, on this very episode.
Oh, yes.
And you'll take note that NBFIRA is undertaking a public education initiative, the regulation and supervision of lending activities in Botswana. That is what we will be unpacking today. So we will be also touching on the main types of business areas regulated within the lending activities industry. We will explain what a microlender is and what it is not, the importance of understanding the terms and conditions before signing a loan agreement, as well as the consumer's right to you know, receive a loan statement. It is a very, very important one as well. And we will be unpacking all this with our guests. Today we have the head of communications and international affairs at NBFIRA, Me Boan Tebele, and we have Tepo Gaisi, Me Tepo Gaisi, who takes care of the lending activities. Take note that you can be a part of this discussion. You can SMS 14962, or you can drop in your questions or comments on the Business Crawl Facebook page or NBFIRA Facebook page, wherever where there's a post on today's topic, you can share your comments and questions there. So the topic is the regulation and supervision of lending activities. We roll with you until the top of the hour at 1400 hours, partner.
And yes, we do welcome our guests on the line. We welcome you both. Welcome to Gabs FM.
Thank you very much, Nell and Dollar Mac. It's great to be with you and your listeners this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And my first question will go to Mayor Tsepo Kaise. And what are the categories of business areas that are regulated within the lending activities industry, Mayor Tsepo?
Thank you, Dolana. NBFIRA regulates four industries in the non-bank lending sector. The first sector that we regulate are the microlenders. These are entities that issue unsecured loans to members of the
Sepo, if you can kindly just increase your voice, just so you're more audible.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it better now?
Much better.
Okay. Okay. I was saying that NBFIRA regulates four industries in the non-bank lending sector. The first sector that we regulate are the microlenders. These are entities that issue unsecured loans to members of the public who are gainfully employed. The second sector that we regulate are the pawn shop entities. These entities issue secured loans to the public based on the value of the pawned assets. I think it's important for the listener to know that only movable assets may be pawned. An example would be household appliances, motor vehicles, electronic devices such as TVs and smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Therefore, this means that it is prohibited to pawn immovable assets such as residential property.
Right. Thank you so much, Sepo. Take note that if you just tuned in, we are on the Business Crawl powered by NBFIRA, the regulation and supervision of lending activities in Botswana. And this is what we're unpacking with our guests today. How would you define a micro lender so that as we really unpack other issues, we we get to really understand how do we really define a microlender.
Great. Thanks, Nell. If I may just quickly, before touching on that, if I may just elaborate on two further categories of businesses that we regulate that
Yes, please go ahead.
It's finance companies, and these are body corporates that provide loans or advances, and these are not banks or deposit-taking institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is leasing companies, and they purchase assets, for example, equipment or machinery, for a client, and then the client pays for the asset over a period of time. So in short, these are the four categories of businesses that are regulated under the lending activities sector.
Right.
And then just moving on to your question quickly about how do we define a microlender. So a microlender really is an entity that advances loans to people, to individuals. Once again, they do not include entities licensed under the Banking Act or the Building Societies Act. So you cannot be licensed and regulated by Bank of Botswana, for example, because they regulate under the Banking Act and then operate a microlending business.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So what are some things that are that a prospective client should be mindful of before signing a loan agreement? And why?
Sure. So if we start from the beginning, a loan agreement really is a contract that details an agreement between a lender and the borrower. Therefore, it's crucially important that the borrower understands the terms of the agreement they're getting into before they sign it. They also need to understand this for their own sake so that they can be sure that they're able to honor the terms they're in. So when it comes to loan agreements, there are a number of points that we could encourage our listeners to be mindful of, but for the purposes of time, I will just highlight three. The first one being the total amount repayable. It's important to be clear on the total amount that a borrower is expected to repay over the duration of the loan, and it should be separated according to the principal amount to be repaid, the interest amount to be repaid, and any other fees, such as administrative or collection fees and so forth. The second point I'd like to highlight, Nell, is when it comes to the interest rate charged over the duration of the loan period.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, interest really is simply the cost of borrowing funds from the microlender. Therefore, it is important that the borrower and the listener are very clear on the amount of interest that they will be expected to repay over the duration of their loan period, and that this interest should exclude all other charges. So it's a standalone item. You cannot have interest interwoven with admin fees, collection fees, and so forth, and it's presented as one lump sum. It should not be
Separate. It's separated.
It's separate, no.
Okay.
It's very important.
So,
and then also it's very important to know and be clear on what type of interest arrangement. Is it fixed or is it variable interest?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if indeed it happens to be that the interest you're being charged is a variable interest, then you must understand and know the circumstances under which this variable interest can vary, because by definition, it means that that rate of interest can alter and change over the duration of your loan period. So you must get a clear understanding from your microlender as to under what circumstances would my the interest rate on my loan change.
Right. Mm. Before I give to Dollar, just a follow-up question there, Mintebele. You'll remember in one of our previous episodes, there was a question that came through from one of our listeners asking if there is if NB FIRA also regulates the amount of interest.
Yes.
And there was a complaint that some charge ridiculous interest rates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I will just touch on that again now. Thank you for raising that question. It is a concern that we do hear from the public. NB FIRA does not regulate the interest rate charged by microlenders. Rather, let me say, NB FIRA does not dictate or put a cap or a limit on the interest rate charged. And this is because our approach to this is to let market forces determine the interest rate. As you're aware, there are issues of demand and supply, so we do not want to be seen to be curtailing or interfering with the market dynamics of demand and supply. What we do is we advise the public to shop around.
Right.
Okay. So shop around, inquire with a number of microlenders, make sure you really do ask questions and that you are satisfied with the answers you get before you commit to any loan with any particular service provider.
Right. Thank you so much, partner.
Makes more sense. All right. Let's talk to Tepo. Tepo, what is a loan statement and what are some of the important information it contains?
All right, thank you, Dollar Mac. A loan statement is a document which details the borrower's loan amount, what has been paid at a particular time, and the outstanding balance at the reporting date. It outlines the payments which were made by the borrower on a periodic basis and how much they still owe the entity. A borrower who has a term loan of over 12 months should be given a loan statement every 6 months by the microlender. This is also in accordance with Regulation 16 of the Microlending Regulations of 2012.
Are microlenders allowed to ask or clients to disclose their PIN numbers or their bank cards or maybe take their bank cards or identity documents?
Thank you, Dollar Mac. Lenders are not allowed, therefore prohibited to require the disclosure of borrowers' confidential PIN numbers used for a bank card or take the possession of the borrower's bank card, national identity card, or MANG, or any other official document for any reason. This is also a contravention of the microlending regulation, Regulation 14, rather.
Mm-hmm.
However, lenders are at liberty to make copies of the front of client's bank card to confirm the bank card numbers and the validity period. However, they are not to make copies of the back as it shows the CVC number, which may expose clients to the risk of bank card fraud or identity theft.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
We are on the Business Call 1345. That is your studio time. It's me and Dollar Mac, the Business Call powered by NBFIRA, right up to the top of the hour. There are already two questions that have popped up. Take note that we will allow our guests to actually respond to these questions in the next episode. The regulation and supervision of lending activities is what we're unpacking. 14962 is your SMS line, +267 395 6962. That is your WhatsApp line or NBFIRA digital platforms as well as the Business Crawl. We continue as such. How can we lodge a complaint to NBFIRA, Mentebele?
Thank you, Noel. I apologize for wanting to take you back just a little bit again.
That's fine. Please do. We still have a lot of time.
Yes. I thought just to elaborate on, you know, when we were talking earlier about what our listeners should be mindful of before signing a loan agreement.
Yes.
There's just one more important point that I wish to highlight, and that is the issue of penalty charges.
Yes.
So penalty charges are essentially fees paid by the borrower when they have either defaulted on their payments, or in some instances, they can be charged penalties if they settle their loan sooner than the agreed time frame as per their contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's important for our listeners to always ask and be clear on under what circumstances could they then be penalized or receive a penalty. And also to be mindful that penalties charged should not exceed 5% of the outstanding principal amount per month.
Okay. Would you mind to just give an example there?
Okay. So, for example, if we have an outstanding principal amount, let's say, of 2,000 pula on a loan that we've taken out.
Right.
Then if I, let's say, skip a payment and then I or do something that warrants or justifies a microlender under the terms of the contract to penalize me, the amounts that they penalize me cannot exceed 5% of 2,000. So per month, yes. So we'll do that calculation. You must do that calculation and always ensure that it does not exceed 5% of the outstanding principal amount per month. And then another aspect of it, the same point on penalties, is that a maximum penalty fee may not exceed the outstanding principal amount. So the first part was about principal amount per month, but then the second part is that the maximum penalty fee you can receive cannot exceed the total outstanding principal amount. So these are conversations that we encourage the borrowers to have with their microlenders should they find themselves in situations where they are receiving a penalty for something.
Right. So how do we lodge a complaint, Mebo?
Sure.
But before that, maybe, what are some of the complaints, if you may just highlight, I hope I'm not putting you in the spot on this one, some of the complaints that come to NBFIRA which are related to this?
To penalties or just to microlenders in general?
To microlenders, yes.
To microlenders
yes,
in general?
Yes, yes. A customer perhaps complaining about a particular microlender.
Yes, I know that the one of interest rate charges, feeling that they're being overcharged, and then the customer is not clear on exactly why, like they're not clear on the structure of the interest rate they're being charged.
Right.
So again,
right.
It takes us back to the point of signing the contract, that the customer did not understand at that point in time what the implications were of the interest rate that they'd be charged. So that's a one common one. Another one is...
another one
yes,
would be...
Yes, Tepo will add on.
Yes, yes, go ahead, Tepo.
Another one would be altering the terms and conditions of the loan agreement without prior knowledge of the customer.
Okay. Okay, that is the microlender altering.
Yes.
Okay, okay. All right, okay. Mebo, you may go ahead and share with us the steps to take when we lodge a complaint to NBFIRA. And maybe because we still have a bit of time, you can just share some of the interventions that NBFIRA partakes in such instances.
Sure. All right, now, so I'll just preface my response here by saying that NBFIRA, as part of its mandate, has a responsibility to protect consumers. And so in light of this is done in a number of ways. One is in ensuring the fair treatment of customers by the entities we regulate. And the second main way is through preventing abusive business practices. So when it comes to escalating or lodging a complaint to NBFIRA, customers of entities that we regulate, in this case, let's say microlenders,
yes,
they must have to first of all ensure that they have exhausted the complaints channels within the specific service provider that they are aggrieved with. So microlender A will have a complaints process. You must go through that whole process. If the customer finds that they are still dissatisfied with the feedback or conclusion that they received, they then escalate this to NBFIRA, and this is done by attaching all relevant documentation and proof of communication with the relevant company. They consolidate all of that and submit it to us, either through our complaints portal, which is accessed on our website, or they can mail the documents to us at our postal address, Private Bag 00314, Khabaroni.
Right.
Once we receive that NEO, we then look at the contractual agreement that was entered into, and then we also look at it in context of the specific regulation, in this case, the regulations of 2012.
Right.
And then we advise either the client or the customer as to who is in the wrong based on what the law says.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you might find that a client may escalate a complaint to NBFIRA, but really the client has misunderstood their rights as according to the law,
mm-hmm.
and they have violated their contractual agreement.
Right.
You see, once you sign a contract, unless it's unless of with the exception of situations where you were clearly information was withheld from you by the microlender and other extenuating circumstances. But in general, once you have signed a contract, it is taken that you understood the terms of the contract.
Right.
That's why we emphasize that our listeners must make sure they understand before signing.
Right, to understand, yes. To read first and understand.
Read first and understand. Take your time before you sign, because once you sign, you have legally now committed to this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, it is more difficult to then turn around later and say you didn't understand. But however, where there is a clear contravention of the law, then that's a different situation. Then we make it clear
yes.
that either the entity or the individual was in clear contravention of the law, and then we assess and advise accordingly.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Partner, the time is 13:53. There are already questions rolling in that side. I don't know if there are questions rolling in on your other side, but I think it's important to just say, and Bifira will respond to these questions on our next episode on the 28th of June at this particular hour on the business crawl, the regulation and supervision of lending activities. The time is 13:54. We're left with about 3 minutes. Mentebele, how do we reach NBFIRA?
Sure. We can be contacted, called on 310-2595. I'll say that again, 310-2595. Alternatively, we can be visited on our website, which is www.nbfira.org.bw. We can also be emailed on the email address info@nbfira.org.bw. And then lastly, we may be followed on our social media platforms.
Right. I'm going to actually read out this comment. Kang e le tsereng e ke botlhoka thata ke kopa o ba botse gore a bana melela ha tsela Botswana ga bana me ba ha kae sentle sentle Mentebele.
Okay. Thank you now for the question.
Pepo, yes.
Our offices are located in CBD, but we are available through telephones and email for people who are outside town.
Okay. No, that is very, very clear. Okay, the regulation and supervision of lending activities. It was such a very educative topic, partner. Wow, we should read. I think this is a very, very educative topic, and it has attracted quite a number of comments and questions. So the important thing is to read and understand. However, NBFIRA is also there to assist us in such. But take note that they do undertake the regulation and supervision of the lending activities. And it is very important that we really get to know our parastatals and you know their mandate le gore tota ba ka re thusa ka selenseng yang, and just to learn, you know, and that is the purpose of this very educative initiative driven by NBFIRA. Take note that if you just tuned in and you have missed much at this live session, take note that you do have an opportunity to get a copy of this particular discussion on the NBFIRA digital platforms, particularly the Facebook page. We will share on the business crawl, and please do send in your comments and questions, because we will be giving feedback on them on the 28th of June. We will give feedback on those particular comments and questions. Otherwise, it's a good afternoon. Look out for the next show on the 28th of June.
Thank you to you, Boa and Tepo, for joining us this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dollar Michael. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you so much.
Partner, we connect again tomorrow. Have a great one.
Tomorrow it is.
You cheers.
All right, bye.
Bye.
The Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA, contributes to the financial stability of the local economy by regulating and supervising the non-bank financial institution sector, which comprises of the following industries: capital markets, insurance, medical aid, lending activities, retirement fund industries, as well as virtual asset service providers. NBFIRA fosters, amongst others, the safety and soundness of regulated entities, the reduction and deterrence of financial crime, as well as consumer protection. Join me now, Tlaselo, on The Business Crawl, the show that unpacks business, policy, investment opportunities, and trade on Gaps FM at 1330 hours to 1400 hours Central Africa time, powered by the Non-Bank Financial Institutions Regulatory Authority, NBFIRA.